that's a proper introduction.
More objects have landed around the world.
This is one of 12.
I'm never going to be able to speak their words.
Got 2 days.
Figure something out.
I am human.
It's their language. We need to make sure that they understand the difference between a weapon and a tool. Language is messy, and sometimes one can be both.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pop Culture Ninja. I'm Nathan, here with Nathan. Nathan, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing very well. Super excited that fall is finally slowly creeping in here.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been waiting for it to hit, and it'll kind of tease a little bit, and then it'll disappear.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that we are finally on our way to cooler weather and changing leaves and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, man. I mean, this is... this isn't my favorite time of the year. A lot of people are going to hate me for saying this, but I really like winter. Big winter person. My birthday's in winter. Christmas is in winter. I love snow. I love all the activities of winter. Favorite time of the year, but fall really comes in as a second close. Just like you said, you get the changing weather. It's not so hot and muggy out. You get that nice, you can sleep with the windows open. You get that nice, crisp, cool air coming in the morning. On a Saturday morning, if you don't have anywhere to go, you can just bundle up in the covers and sleep in a little bit more. You know, I love apple picking and, you know, apple cider and, you know, of course, all the fall beers. This is one of my favorite time of the year for beer. Great time for TV and movies. Today, we're going to take this opportunity to have a part one of fall movies, and then we're going to do a part two with TV shows. So, Nathan, really excited about, you know, this opportunity to talk about all these great movies that are coming out.
Well, potentially great. Maybe not so great. I've looked through the list. I've got some hesitation on some of them. I will say, too, that when we're looking at the movies, of course, now we're going into the fall time, so we are likely to see movies that are maybe not 100% more adult in nature, but I think this is where studios are a little more concerned about the Oscars.
Yes.
They're more concerned about awards and accolades and not necessarily as much about what's going to make the most money, although we certainly have some big blockbusters on the way, and probably some I think we're also going to have those that are more like hybrids, where they're concerned about being a big blockbuster, but they also have some potential to be a real story. I'm more excited about some of the big movies coming out in this time frame than I was over the summer.
So, yeah.
And you talk about TV. I think what will be cool, we'll probably push the TV episode or the second part of this off a couple weeks just so we have time to see some of those new shows, because the new shows are sort of just now rolling out and the shows that are coming back. So I think we give ourselves a couple weeks, we'll be able to report back with some actual, not just, hey, this is what we're excited for, but an idea of how some of these shows are shaping up, at least in their first episode or couple episodes. So we'll probably see that in early October.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. So, you know, without further ado, Nathan, why don't you go ahead and take us away in the movies.
And the weekend they were recording this, the big movie that came out was Magnificent Seven. It's a remake of the classic Western from the 60s, which is actually, in its own way, a remaking of The Seven Samurai by Akira Kurosawa. So this is like the third time out. Have you seen the trailers for it, Nathan?
I have. It looks really good.
Yeah, it looks... I mean, it has an interesting cast. I like Denzel Washington. I like Ethan Hawke. It's kind of interesting to see Vincent D'Onofrio and also Chris Pratt, who's... This is probably his big action-adventure movie coming off of Jurassic World, which is what he hit on last summer. So it looks like a fun action movie. This is directed by Antoine Fuqua, who has done several sort of middle-of-the-road action movies. He's done a few remakes himself. The big movie that he kind of really brought attention to himself with was A Training Day back in 2001 with Hawke and Denzel Washington. So, to me, it looks like it could be a potentially fun action adventure movie. I'm not terribly interested, only because I already have The Magnificent Seven and The Seven Samurai, and there's a sort of who really cares about it, you know, with the remake. So I would be interested in seeing it. I haven't seen it yet. I wasn't able to make the screening. So that's out there. That's probably going to carry on. I imagine, I haven't seen how it's doing box office-wise, but I imagine it's probably going to carry on into the opening of October.
Yeah.
And there aren't a ton of really big action sorts of movies up for October or the end of September. We have Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. We are actually going to have a review of that for the weekly preview.
Yes.
I got a chance, myself and my sister got to see that at a screening last week. So we do have a review of that. So that's probably going to be another movie that will hold the blockbuster status for a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, it leads you into October. And of course, October is usually a good time for studios to release their creepier fare, their horror movies, things like that. And that's not going to be any exception this year. You've got a couple of horror movies and things that are coming out. There is a mystery movie coming out October 7th that I'm pretty intrigued by, called The Girl on the Train.
Yes, I did see previews for that with, what's his name from...
what's his
the
name?
The Hobbit. Luke Evans. Luke Evans, thank you.
Yeah, and Luke Evans, who a few years ago, I think his big October movie was that Dracula Untold of prologue to the Dracula story. Of course, the big star here is Emily Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Allison Janney's in it, Lisa Kudrow's in it, a couple other actors as well. So what was your impression of this? I'm not familiar with the book that it's based off of. It definitely has a Hitchcockian sort of feel, or a Hitchcock light feel sort of to the trailer.
Yeah, honestly, when I first was watching it, my first thought was Gone Girl.
I think that this is that is sort of the vein it's following. Yeah. I think that how similar the story is to that, I'm sure that the book was probably also drawing off of that. And I certainly, the movie definitely has that sort of feel where it's going to be a turn this on its head sort of mystery thriller with some questionable motivations for the characters.
Right.
And it's, again, a kind of female-centric story. I hope that it is significantly different than Gone Girl.
Yes.
I thought Gone Girl was an interesting movie to watch. I wasn't really, as an overall experience, I kind of walked out of it a little empty, I thought. Mm-hmm. Did you see the movie?
I didn't, no. I had done my research on the book beforehand and kind of knew some of the premise and things like that, and it just those type of stories don't tend to fascinate me as much, because there's something very self-destructive about the relationships. You know what I mean by that.
I think that's true. I think that's fair. I don't think that Gone Girl necessarily backed away from the self-destructive element of it. I think that can be done in an interesting psychological way. Whether that's true of this movie, I don't know. I think Emily Blunt has really become a very good actress over time. But at the same time, I'm hard-pressed to sit here and think of a movie that Emily Blunt has really gotten to show those acting chops in a like really significant way.
Sure.
I mean, the last movie she was in was Huntsman Winter's War, which was not the showcase for that. So I'm intrigued by it. I'd like to see it. I am really hoping that it does sort of have a little more meat on its bones. Maybe it does follow a few more of those Hitchcock techniques than Gone Girl.
Yeah. And again, I hope you're right with that. I hope it does lend something to being more unique, I should say.
Gone Girl had a unique feeling at the time it was released, which I think it's always difficult. You have that first movie out of the gate, and then everything that sort of follows it tends to be a little pedestrian.
Yeah.
Don't know if that's the case here. It has a great trailer. I'm looking forward to it. I think I see it in a couple weeks. So when we do that, we will be back with like a weekly review to cover it, see how it goes. Other movies coming out in October. Again, from the horror movie bent, you've got a couple of films. Some of them look good, some of them not so good. We have another Ouija board movie. I'm not sure why. We didn't really need the first one that we had. This is called like Ouija, The Origin of Evil or something. And I saw the trailer a few weeks ago in front of some movie, and it definitely seems to be trying to follow in that vein of The Conjuring, where it takes a kind of period piece setting. Apparently, they're discovering that these movies always seem scarier when you set them in, like, the 1960s.
Right.
You have, you know, bell bottoms and whatnot, and, like, that 60s to 70s sort of variation. The trailer looked okay, but just very predictable, very much in the same vein of creepy, spooky children popping out and things of that nature. The director is somebody who has done a couple of movies that have been indie movies have been interesting. So it's interesting to see he's been sort of slapped onto this particular movie, which to me looks like a cookie cutter job. You know, this is definitely a paycheck movie, I think.
Yeah.
So that's Ouija, The Origin of Evil. If you are super into horror movies, you're probably going to see it because it's October and it'll be out in the theaters.
Yeah.
The movie I'm much more interested in the horror-related vein, is a movie called Under the Shadow. I think every year around this time, we are starting to get smaller movies that usually find an audience, mostly because somebody is looking for something a little bit different. Yeah. And a lot of these movies have already played film festivals, so they come with a positive word of mouth. And a good example would be a couple years ago, we had The Babadook. Mm-hmm. And you may not have seen that. It was an Australian horror film that was very psychologically minded. Mm-hmm. It was very creepy, but it was not in the boilerplate of a slasher film, and nor was it really a ghost movie. It was sort of something more unique in between. This one is more interesting because of its setting, which is taking place really in Tehran and during the Iran-Iraq War.
Yep.
And you've got a woman and her young daughter, and a missile hits her apartment building, but it doesn't explode. So there's a neighbor in the vicinity who ends up passing away, and then supernatural element or entity comes into the picture. So I think it's kind of interesting when you take these settings where they're already fraught with a lot of extra drama, and now you've added the sort of supernatural element. The whole thing with the bomb not exploding reminds me of a Guillermo del Toro movie from the early 2000s called The Devil's Backbone that was about a children's orphanage during the Spanish Civil War.
Yes.
And that story was not essentially a horror film. It was a dark sort of coming-of-age drama. And this movie is rated PG-13 as well. So, again, it's played at film festivals. I'm sure it's not a studio focus group tested PG-13. It's probably organically that kind of a story. So I think if you're a person who enjoys darker dramas, I haven't seen this movie yet, but I've heard a lot of good stuff about it. I think this is going to be more of a dark drama with some horrific elements or supernatural elements, and not particularly a horror story. So I'm guessing that you can expect to see, coming out of October, this being a movie that people are banding about as the next kind of movie to see, thriller-wise. So I'm much more interested in this than even a movie like The Girl on the Train.
Yes.
So plus, the cast is... these are going to be actors we probably don't normally see, and they're going to be characters that fit into that setting.
Yeah.
So very interested about it. It is most likely, I imagine, it probably is a foreign language film. Don't know for certain, but that's most likely the case. So Under the Shadow, as soon as I get a chance to see that, we can be back with a review of it. Otherwise, horror movies. Do you remember, and Nathan, you probably never saw them, but do you remember a series called Phantasm?
Yes.
With the, like, silver balls with the blades that came out. And you had this tall guy, the tall man, actor Angus Scrimm, and he would sort of wander around raising people from the dead so he could compact them into little, like, cloaked midgets, like evil Jawas. So those movies were, like, they were right there on the horror movie shelf in the, like, Blockbuster next to, like, Nightmare on Elm Street and Jason. They were probably, like, the, neglected stepbrothers of those movies, though. I remember watching them. And did you know there were four of them?
No.
Or did you know there's about to be a fifth and final Phantasm movie? And I think that this is really going to have to be the last one, because actor Angus Scrimm, who played the tall man, passed away last January. But apparently not before they filmed Phantasm Ravager, whose big promotional poster is one of those giant balls with the blades, but it's now the size of a city, and it's shooting laser beams through skyscraper buildings. So they may have upped the ante. I watched the trailer. I didn't see anything quite that epic, because the budget has decreased. But if for some reason you remember Phantasm, and of course the entire cast is back, because what else would they be doing? The director is Don Coscarelli. Now, in the meantime, between the original Phantasms and now, Coscarelli did do Bubba Hotep with Bruce Campbell. So he does have that to his resume. And so, I don't know. If you're a Phantasm fan, they're also re-releasing the original movie into theaters with a remastered cut and everything like that. So,
hey, there are Sharknado fans out there. I'm sure there are Phantasm fans out
there. Well, there are. J.J. Abrams is apparently one, because that's why we have the remastered new Phantasm, because he wanted to show it to people on the set of Star Wars The Force Awakens, because Captain Phasma is named after Phantasm, apparently, according to JJ. So there's a little tidbit. And if for some reason you want, I'd be more likely to watch Phantasm Ravager than to watch a Ouija Origin of Evil. So, sure. So there's that. And I think horror-wise, I don't know how much more. We do have another, this is probably in the more, since we're talking about the smaller, geekier movies.
Yeah.
There's a new Godzilla movie. That's not a, this is a new Japanese Godzilla movie. So that's going to be releasing in theaters October 11th.
And that is, do you remember what the subtitle on that is?
Godzilla Resurgence.
Yes.
Because they couldn't think of, what R word do we know? Revival, right. Resurrection, Rehabilitation. I wish it was Godzilla Rehabilitation. That probably should have been the movie that followed the 98 Godzilla. On a, yes.
You see him sitting on a billowing with all the other monsters around him.
Right. Godzilla and, witness protection. We already have Medea witness protection, so why not? Why not Godzilla?
And in this one, Godzilla seems to have this red glow to him, doesn't he?
He does. He's had that glow before, or a similar glow. He became atomic at one point. He was like a walking nuclear reactor.
Okay.
This was right before. I think this was before the '98 Godzilla came out. So Japan decided they needed to kill Godzilla before America got a hold of him and killed him all over again.
Right.
And then really, you've got an. I am not a fan at all, but I guess it bears mentioning. Rob Zombie has a new movie called 31 that involves demented carnival people, but of course it does.
Right.
No interest there. Probably similarly in a not-for-me vein is Boo, a Madea Halloween. Although, I will say that with the thing I'm enjoying about the Boo, a Madea Halloween is that we're getting a lot of pretty inspired posters. There was a poster that was mimicking the original Halloween movie with John Carpenter with her, just her profile and then the knife and the pumpkin and it's but it said Hellerween on the bottom of it. There was one the other day where it was a silhouette of the like a witch flying in front of a moon and it just said witch please on the poster. So I think they're very certain about who their audience is and they're aiming for that.
Awesome.
I saw a trailer for it, but I was not convinced. But I do have a friend who quite enjoys a Madea movie, so we may be seeing this one. Yeah. And if I have to take the time to watch it, I'll be sure to complain about it. Or, I mean, review it on the website.
You know what I found? If you can find the Madea movies, they have live versions of them.
Well, yeah, the stage play sort of thing.
If you can find those are actually... I enjoy those better than the... Hollywood produced movies. To me, those are so funny. I love stage anyway because it's live, anything can happen. And that's what you see. You see, the corks coming out. It's not like they had 50 takes to do this. This is being recorded in one night where, it was put together. And so really, the Madea movies are hysterical if you can find those stage productions.
One of the things, this is probably a really kind of silly thing to complain about given the nature of the Madea movies, but I just can't buy him as a woman. And I know we're not necessarily supposed to be, but we're not even, it's not even like he's Mrs. Doubtfire. I mean, we're supposed to believe this is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how the unreality of the stage, in a sense, where there's an artificiality that's just opened up, might allow that to go down a little easier.
Sure.
I think we've also lost, he had a purpose and a sort of, determination behind him when he first started these, that he had stories he wanted to tell.
Yes.
With Boo, a Madea Halloween, I'm not convinced there's a story that Tyler Perry really wants to tell here, but who knows? I could be wrong.
Right.
I will say that if I am proven wrong and they do manage to make this something more than just a completely goofy, there's the potential here to be the new Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. No, I don't. It's probably going to be more of the Ernest Scared Stupid. But, I try to be an optimistic
classic.
Trying to be an optimistic film critic. However, the same day that releases, you will have Jack Reacher Never Go Back if you're more in line for another rehashed action movie. I'm a little done with the Tom Cruise runs phase.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'm going to check that out. I thought the first Jack Reacher was an okay movie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it? Have you read any of the books?
I haven't read any of the books. The second one has prompted me to go back and watch the first one. The preview for the second one, I should say, has prompted me to want to go back and watch the first one. Because, like you, I really got sick and tired of Tom Cruise. I enjoyed him in the movie he did where he was repeating his day again.
Live, Die, Repeat. it was released under a different title, actually, which was Tomorrow or something, or Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow, yes. And I really did enjoy that one. Mission Impossible, I've enjoyed it, but it's because it felt like it's been getting away from Tom Cruise doing his thing to more ensemble of a team.
Action movies.
And so, but I did see the preview for the Jack Reacher 2, and to me, that scene where it first opens up in the trailer and he's sitting there in the diner with all these bodies around him, and the sheriff comes walking in and he just kind of looks at him and says, first, there's going to be a phone call. Second, you're going to be in handcuffs. Then third, you're going to be locked away. And then all of a sudden it happens. Like, I love those moments. So that's kind of prompted me to want to go back and watch that first one. Plus, in the second one, you have the girl who played Commander Hill from Avengers. She's going to be playing his lady sidekick in this one. And I've enjoyed her in the Avenger movies. So I'm interested to see how she does in this.
Was that Kobe Smulders?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. I will probably see it because it'll probably be, of the three movies, it'll most likely be screening that week.
Yes.
Boo, Ouija, and Jack Reacher. So I think I know where I'll probably be seated.
Jack Reacher wins.
Yeah. Now, the movie I'm most excited for in October is actually something that's not coming to anywhere but IMAX, which is Voyage of Time. Mm. Voyage of Time is the newest Terrence Malick movie.
Okay.
And are you familiar with Terrence Malick at all?
Not really.
You're probably familiar at least with the titles of his movies, even if you haven't seen them, but I suspect you've probably seen at least one. Malick started in the 70s. His big movie, his original big movie, was Days of Heaven. He did Days of Heaven and another movie called Badlands. Both are very kind of pastoral, very experimental at the time, and artistic and poetic sorts of movies. People have described him as sort of like a combination of like the Ingmar Bergman if he was sort of a hippie Christian transcendentalist. There's a lot of stuff going on in his movies, but the movie you're probably most familiar with is he did those two. He did Days of Heaven, then he did Badlands, and then he took a very long break and did The Thin Red Line in 1998. Yes. So if you've seen The Thin Red Line, the beautiful nature photography, characters not really speaking so much as having their internal thoughts sort of broadcast, those are all elements of Malick. And then he did another movie, The New World, which was kind of the story of Pocahontas.
Yes.
And that also I thought was a very good movie, but they're definitely for a very kind of specific audience.
Sure.
I think Malick mostly makes movies for himself, and if everyone else wants to see them, great. But for a long time, he was just, his work ethic was such that he was only getting a movie out every 5, 6, or 15 years.
Yeah.
So after The New World, the next movie I believe he made was Tree of Life in 2011, which I loved Tree of Life. And I think the first time we did a podcast, the first time I was on the podcast, These Go to 11, we got in that discussion about faith-based movies. And I was saying that for me, I feel like Tree of Life may be a movie that is a good epitome of what I think a kind of faith-based movie should be, where the person is trying to share their personal thoughts about their faith, as opposed to trying to sort of convert somebody via this series of messages. So I thought Tree of Life is a fascinating movie. In Tree of Life, Malick is using a lot of like poetic dialogue, basically capturing people having conversations with God. But visually what you see is split between 1950s coming-of-age story with a young boy and basically the creation of the universe, seen through a very kind of what we would consider scientific bent, with evolution and dinosaurs and things like that. But the entire time, you are hearing these almost Job-style voiceovers where characters are pleading and speaking with God and wanting to see his face. So it's an interesting thing. The reason I mention all that is Voyage of Time is really the distillation of that sequence to a overall experience. So he didn't have all the time to work with the special effects artist to make that sequence as long as he wanted. So Voyage of Time is essentially that. It's going to be narrated by Brad Pitt, who was in Tree of Life.
Okay.
And it's going to be really the nature photography showing the creation of the world. And the version that was released, I think, at a film festival recently had Cate Blanchett. But again, it kind of captures some of Malick's own personal thoughts about God and nature with these images. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think IMAX would be an awesome place to see that.
Yeah.
And if you're inclined to that sort of thing, I think that'll probably be a very beautiful movie, even if you don't take anything else away from it.
Right, right. Interesting.
So, on the other side of that, have you seen a trailer for a movie called Max Steel?
Yes, I did. And it's funny you say that because I there are several remakes of Max Steel.
Can you tell me what Max Steel is? Because Jen and I, my wife, were trying to figure out whether it was originally a cartoon or a comic book or originally just a toy line.
It was, I think it came from like that Hasbro tradition of there being this toy that was blended into a cartoon. So the basic premise is Max is this kid whose father has been working with the secret organization, and this alien Steel crash lands on Earth. All these other evil aliens come to Earth looking for Steel because he is this power source that is going to, you know, grant them ultimate power and blah, 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 blah. And it ends up attaching itself to Max. So hence the name Max Steel. It's a combination of both characters' names. And what he's able to do is tap into this force that grants him the ability to put on this suit. He has heightened senses and awareness with this suit, and the suit and him eventually become symbiotes of one another, and they go on to fight this evil. But Max can transform into this huge creature type thing. It's almost like a Ben 10 type of scenario, if you're familiar with the Ben 10 cartoon series.
I did see a bad 1998 movie called Star Kid. Is it like that?
No.
He climbs inside of this alien symbiote suit. And
kind of, yeah. Except, you know...
This was extremely low budget. It had Joseph Mazzello from Jurassic Park.
Yes.
And that was probably the last time anyone heard or saw of him. But,
and that's probably why.
I thought the trailer for Max Steel looked incredibly generic, though. I mean,
I think this is directed toward people who are familiar with the cartoon, are familiar with the toy line, and I think it's directed at people, at young children. Ben 10 came out, I believe it was Cartoon Network. Ben 10 was on Cartoon Network, and they came out with a series of live-action movies that took place in between each season of Ben 10. And this feels very much like that. I don't think you're going to find anything that's high budget, Shakespeare in the Park. I think this is whoever got the rights to do this is a passionate person about
money.
This, well, pretty much, yeah. And they want to just put this out there. And, you know, kids are going to go see it. I mean, honestly, it's probably something I will see because I remember watching the first variation of Max Steel back in the 90s when it came out, and then watching the reboot series that came out later in the 2000s. So I'll probably go see it either at the cheap theater or I'll wait till it comes out on Redbox.
Yeah, and there's a couple other of movies coming out that if you are not looking forward to some of these big, you know, special effects movies, mm-hmm. which Max Steel looks like it's in that vein, although mm-hmm. it looks like it certainly probably has a lower budget than some of them. And so there are going to be movies, again, we talked about this often being the season for more like adult movies. Mm-hmm. There's a movie coming out called Certain Women, mm-hmm. which is going to be one of those movies, I think, that is heading towards the Oscar sort of race idea. It's directed by a director, Kelly Reichardt, and it has Michelle Williams in it. If you remember, Michelle Williams was, I think a lot of people probably associate her with Heath Ledger, you know, Ledger's wife. But she's done several movies with Kelly Reichardt now. I think the last movie she did was a movie called Meek's Cutoff, which was a kind of neo-Western, but it was a very sort of reserved kind of movie. This one has a pretty big cast. Kristen Stewart's in it. Laura Dern is in it. And I said Michelle Williams. Jared Harris is also in it. You might remember Jared Harris. He played Moriarty in the Robert Downey Jr. Yes. Sherlock Holmes series. But this is, again, it's a small town America story. It's the lives of three women. So this is going to be a movie that's probably not completely, but somewhat female audience driven, mm-hmm. but I don't think it's going to be. Reichardt doesn't makes female-driven movies, but she does not make movies that are aimed at, like, that Lifetime sort of, or that Hallmark audience. This not this sort of, like, theoretical female audience that may exist, but, you know, I think... So,
wider, more realistic,
This movie, Certain Women, is not going to be a movie that is going to sell out tickets the first weekend. You may not even find it in theaters except places like here in Baltimore, the Charles and stuff like that.
Sure.
It's going to be a smaller movie. I'm very interested in it because I think Kelly Reichardt has a good handle on creating characters and doing it in a way that's kind of fresh and original. And I think that if you hear Oscar talk for any of these ladies, it will probably be in relation to this movie. So if you are, again, that adult audience that is looking for movies that are character-driven and explosion-driven, that might be one for you to check out.
Right.
So as we're coming down to the end of October, there's not, again, there's not a whole lot, although we do have a couple more horror movies there. We've got So Many Years Later, you know, just a few weeks ago we had a new Blair Witch movie after, what was that, like 20-some years?
Yeah.
And it was even less compelling than the first movie. And we're probably going to see something similar with the resurgence of the Ring movies.
Oh, yeah.
That is not Ring's resurgence, like Godzilla resurgence, but we have Ring coming back, but we've added an S to the end, so that's why it's different.
Yes.
So we have now Rings. Now, I remember the original Japanese movie. Have you seen any of these movies?
No.
Ring with the you get the phone call 7 days and then
I'm familiar with the story,
When they originally came out, the first one was in 98, and that idea of like the creepy VHS tape that you could find, like that kind of worked, particularly because if you were renting Ringu from a Blockbuster, it was like the obscure one copy. And then they did, Gore Verbinski did the remake in 2002, which is fond to me mostly because it was one of the first movies I saw with my girlfriend, who I was, well, actually, I don't think she was my girlfriend at the time. She's now my wife. But it was one of those sort of like, hey, you want to come to a movie? And the only girl that said yes to the horror movie turned out to be Jen. And there we were. So that was one of the early bonding movies, was that remake of The Ring. And since then, I think there was a sequel, an American sequel.
Yes.
But also around the same time, we've got Rings comes out right at the end of October. So that gets their banking on being their big Halloween movie.
Yeah.
And I've watched the trailer, and it looks like, again, they're just upping the ante. You know, like we've got the giant Phantasm ball that is now the size of a city, and now we have everybody watching this video. There's a scene in the trailer of Rings where everyone's watching the video on a plane at the same time. They're all going to die. So at the same time, Japan has made a movie which is Sadako, who is the Japanese version of the ghost in the Ring series, fighting the ghost from the Grudge series in a sort of drag out. I guess it's their Freddy versus Jason. So Japan trying to, you know,
Godzilla
get in
Godzilla versus Mothra.
Right. I want to see something completely unfair like Godzilla versus the Ring. You
know,
but he accidentally watches the videotapes. What happens to him in 7 days? So, that's the kind of mashups. I don't want to see something, you know, Godzilla versus King Kong. How about King Kong versus Jason Voorhees? How many times he keeps stepping on him before he could just throw barrels at him and we can have a Donkey Kong crossover. So
it'd be more interesting than the Pixels movie that came out.
That would not take away. There's also, I don't know much about it, there is a Dutch horror movie coming out called The Windmill, and the tagline is, this isn't hell, this is Holland. So that's about all you probably need to know about that one.
Oh my word.
So as we come out of October. Well, actually, at the end of October, you also have Inferno, which is not, sadly, Dante's Inferno, but
Dan Brown.
Yes, Dan Brown's Inferno.
Yes.
And the best I can say about this is that Tom Hanks in the trailer does not have a mullet.
Hot dog.
Yes. And
thank you, Tom.
And Felicity Jones is in this too. But though I think they'd excised the mullet before they got even to the second movie. Have you seen any of these or read? Never a fan.
I haven't. I had enough, and let me just put this out there. In the Christian community dogged these books, dogged this movie. That's not why I didn't go and see them. It didn't fascinate me because I feel like the real story behind the church history is fascinating enough with all the intrigue going on between the Catholic and Protestant church. Why do you need to make stuff up? This one to me actually looks fascinating though.
It looks better than the others. I mean,
yeah.
You with using Dante as this kind of almost like guide for how to survive some sort of like pandemic or some sort of like global catastrophe, I'm a little interested. I mean, Ron Howard is back to direct it. I think I saw Angels and Demons and thought that it was okay. Honestly, this is more the silly campy part of me coming out, but I actually enjoyed the Nicolas Cage National Treasure movies more than this. I think because they didn't take themselves as seriously. Right. I had more fun with them in a faux Indiana Jones sort of way. So
sure.
I have no real expectations for this, but I may see it depending on what the... again, it just seems like you can almost sense the desperation in this movie season, particularly when we're talking about big budget movies. They are clamoring and looking for whatever they can resuscitate. And these are franchises that were never huge. I mean, they were big for a moment, but I can't imagine even thinking Tom Hanks coming back to do this or, you know, another Ring movie. Like, it just seems like we're starved to get something out there that's going to appeal to audiences. There's a part of me that kind of hopes that these efforts don't succeed.
Sure.
Because I don't want to see a third Jack Reacher. I don't want to see another Dan Brown adaptation. I think it's time that we get a little more fresh blood in there, and this is just not doing it. So November shows up, and now where we start to get into the heavy guns in terms of studios wanting to get their movies out for the holidays. And the first big movie, which is it's just enough around the corner from the end of October and Halloween, that it's probably going to pick up a little momentum from that. But it doesn't need any momentum because it's a Marvel movie. Do you want to talk about that,
David? Doctor Strange, baby.
Yes.
Doctor Strange. And I got to tell you, I have been excited about this project since day one, since the first announcement. Initially, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was attached to the project, and I thought he would have made a good Doctor Strange. I think he's really stepped up his acting chops, particularly since Third Rock from the Sun and Angels in the Outfield.
Indeed.
You know, I thought he was fantastic in the Christopher Nolan movie. My mind's going blank. Dark Knight Rises. And then the other one he did with Leonardo DiCaprio, Inception.
Yeah.
I thought he did a fantastic job with Inception, and I really thought he would be able to pull this off. Then he had dropped out of the project, or he was let go of the project, whatever happened. And it was left dormant for a while, and I was very disappointed. And then when Benedict Cumberbatch signed on, I was stoked. And the more I see in terms of trailers, first of all, the more Inception-like it looks. But I think they're going to retain that great element. And the one thing that you and I have talked about, Nathan, that Marvel has done so well is their initial movie kickoff in their series has always been an attention getter. When the first Iron Man came out, it was phenomenal. It had been a movie that people had been waiting for a long time. They did it right. Of course, Iron Man 2 and 3 were disappointments and letdowns, but that's another story. Then they had their Avengers initiative where they had the Hulk. And I enjoyed the Hulk. I thought Edward Norton did a good job playing Bruce Banner.
It was a fun movie. I enjoyed it for what it was. I don't feel that they've given the Hulk his due yet.
I don't know that they're ever going to. The Hulk is one of those characters that I feel like audiences are the least connected to. And that could be for any number of reasons.
I think they've started to build a nice backbone with the Mark Ruffalo version. I think that they would need to heavily support it with other characters because the trick is not having the Hulk on screen the whole time.
Correct.
Unless it is like the Planet Hulk storyline.
Right.
Which would, I mean, that's going to be a huge budget movie.
Right.
And that would be a lot of effort to make sure you get it right.
Right. But, and you need to see the Hulk really evolve in intelligence in order to make that movie, because the Hulk does evolve into a very intelligent creature. It's just he's a rage machine. You know, then you had Thor and Captain America. You had all of the Avengers in their individual stories compelling, although ironically enough, I feel like Captain America has gotten stronger as it's progressed, you know, Thor 2, I really enjoyed. I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was as strong as the first one. So I'm really, really excited to see Doctor Strange come out. We're actually going to have a gentleman from a comic book store just down the road come in, and he's going to talk to us about comics, and we're actually going to talk to him specifically about Doctor Strange and kind of get the comic book feel of Doctor Strange. So almost that, what we did with Miss Peregrine, where people were going to go out and read the book, see the movie. He's going to come in and talk to us about the evolution of Doctor Strange and all the things that have happened to him over the years in comic books.
I'm looking forward to that. And I think with Doctor Strange, it's a pretty, out there concept or idea. Doctor Strange obviously wasn't ever going to be one of the first Marvel characters to be adapted because, A, he isn't one of the A-listers per se.
Correct.
And he is a character who does delve into like the magic and very much like unapologetically magic.
Right.
Very much Eastern in some of the sensibilities. But also it's sorcery, you know, there's that too. It will be interesting to see. I think that so far Marvel has proven themselves to be strong when they have to adapt something that isn't an easy give me.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the reasons that maybe some of their sequels haven't been as strong. When they don't have anything to prove, the product always seems to be a little safer.
Yeah.
So Guardians of the Galaxy to date, which is probably one of the, another kind of not an easy, obvious adaptation, was been my favorite Marvel movie to date. So I'm looking forward to seeing Doctor Strange. I really enjoyed Doctor Strange as a kid, mostly because it was a little more fantastical, and they would really let some of the storylines get pretty strange.
Sure.
No pun intended. But get kind of out there, get kind of weird. Of course, seeing Benedict Cumberbatch should be very interesting. And I think the Tilda Swinton casting is kind of interesting, too.
Yeah.
So I'm very much interested in seeing it. I hope that it is a little bit more original. Director is Scott Derrickson, who is kind of notable because he is a... He's mostly been a horror director, with the exception of the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still. The less said about that, the better. I thought that was a pretty terrible movie.
Sure.
And a pretty bad remake of what was already a great movie. But he's done The Exorcism of Emily Rose, a movie Sinister, and a movie called Deliver Us from Evil. Scott Derrickson, he's also, you know, from our perspective, he is a Christian and a believer. So he does have an interesting take on some of that material. It'll be interesting to see what he does on this much larger scale with Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
The same weekend, you have Trolls. A movie based off of those little troll dolls from the 80s or 90s.
Why?
Have no idea. My children have expressed some mild interest in this. I did see a trailer where somebody was eating the trolls. I hope that that happens in the first 10 or 15 minutes, and then the rest is just a blank screen with, you know, Terrence Malick dialogue asking why, playing over empty space. Hacksaw Ridge, November 4th. This is the new Mel Gibson war film. Do you know anything about this?
I saw a preview for it in theaters over the summer when we went to see Jason Bourne, but that was about it. And I think it was only a teaser. I don't even think it was a full-out preview.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not very much. And this is supposed to be telling this true story of Desmond Doss. He was in Okinawa during World War II, and he never fired a gun or carried a gun. So he saved 75 men. Now, as you know, Mel Gibson, I mean, we're going to leave all his personal snafus aside, has, I think, these days particularly, we look back on his work as a director, which was his later era stuff that still carries some merit and value. Of course, he did The Passion of the Christ, he did Braveheart, and he did Apocalypto. Each one of those movies is very, very heavily violent and does capture the toll and the causality of war. Right. Now, he's now making this movie where you kind of have a character who is essentially, I don't think pacifist is the right word, but he isn't going to carry a gun. So it's getting really good reviews, actually. And I think that with Gibson, you always have that element where if he's getting positive reviews, I think it's really a testament to the movie, because I think whether we want to talk about it or not, people do have to kind of get over Gibson and all of his baggage to even, at least I think most reviewers, to put themselves at a place where they can like admit that the movie itself has quality.
Sure.
So I'm kind of looking forward to it. I think he is a very, very talented director.
Yeah, I agree.
Think he is definitely a snarl of emotions as a human being, but I think he can make really good films, and I am interested to see it. And I would say that it's probably one of the movies this season. I don't know that I'm going to walk out loving it. I actually didn't love Passion of the Christ or Apocalypto. There were things about them I liked. I still enjoy Braveheart.
Yeah.
What did you think about his movies, or what do you think about this?
You know, I agree with you. I mean, I grew up on Mel Gibson, the Lethal Weapon series, Mad Max series. You know, I enjoyed him as an actor, even in some of his later stuff, Conspiracy Theory with Julia Roberts. I really enjoyed Payback. To me, was kind of a fun 50s type of, you know, slick movie. Very gritty in terms of vengeance and violence, but I enjoyed it. So I really like him. The stuff that he's directed, I've enjoyed as well. You know, you mentioned Braveheart. Never saw Apocalypto. Saw The Passion of the Christ.
And it wasn't that I'm down on those movies per se. I think that they could have been stronger in some ways.
Sure.
Obviously, some of my own personal perspective come into a movie like Passion of the Christ.
Sure.
But I think that you can't make a movie like that without people bringing personal baggage to it.
Sure. You know, The Patriot, which I really
enjoyed. Which is not a movie
one.
He directed, but yeah, he was in it.
Yeah. But then We Were Soldiers was one he directed, wasn't it?
No, that was Russell Wallace, who I think was the screenwriter on Braveheart.
Okay.
I did like We Were Soldiers. I thought that was a good film. And I think that I am interested to see this, because I do think he is a good filmmaker. I think he'd be a shrewd filmmaker, and I think he I like the kind of dichotomy here of him trying to capture a story set in a very brutal period, but with a character who
is
essentially not
that,
going and I mean you could make the argument The Passion of Christ was like that, but due to the way he filmed it,
right,
where we were mostly watching Christ's death, we lost a lot of the and elements of pacifism's not the right word, but elements of kind of going against the tide of violent behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So that's early November. A big movie coming out in early November that I'm also really excited about that has really good reviews. It's called Arrival. Science fiction movie.
I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay, this has a great trailer right now, and it is a movie about aliens appearing in Earth's atmosphere, big spaceships, kind of like what we're used to. What really compels me about this movie so far is that it is not an alien invasion movie, or at least it does not seem to be. That's not the hook of the movie. The hook of the movie is you've got spacecraft all over the place, and we have a team of people coming in to figure out why are they here. We don't know why they're here. And the main character is a linguist. Amy Adams is playing a linguist who is trying to figure out what these aliens want. And it looks like the bulk of the film is going to be based around them trying to find a way to communicate with a race that is nothing like us to figure out why are they here.
Right.
This isn't a movie that's going to turn into a war,
right,
but it's us finding a way. It's all about communication. And
sure,
even down to the linguistics. Like, how do you communicate with someone who's essentially different from you?
Right.
And that, to me, is like kind of the heart of real science fiction.
Yeah.
And the trailer looks fascinating. The director is Denis Villeneuve, who did... he's done several movies. He did a movie, though, recently called, from a few years back, called Prisoners with Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
Did you
yes,
see that? So
I
he's
did,
definitely
yes,
more of a thoughtful kind of director. He's the guy who's doing the Blade Runner sequel.
Okay.
So it has a good cast. It has Amy Adams, has Forrest Whitaker, Jeremy Renner. And it definitely looks like it would fall more in line with movies like Contact or something like that.
Which
or
actually I really enjoyed.
Or Interstellar.
Yeah.
A thoughtful movie about ideas.
Yeah.
And it has screened, and it has 100% fresh right now, with some really good reviews, and saying that it's cerebral, it's very intriguing, and a couple of them even compare it to Spielberg back in the days of like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, very
so
nice.
Of the movies coming this season, I think that is probably at the very, very top of my interest list. So in November, it's got a few other big movies that are coming out. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is the J.K.
Rowling's
sort
attempt
of story
to make even more
money. So I'm a little kind of cold on that, but the trailer looks interesting. It's David Yates again, who this will be actually David Yates' second movie this year, because his first was Tarzan.
Yes.
And so I enjoy him as filmmaker. I like what he's done with the Harry Potter universe. I'm sure I will see Fantastic Beasts, and I may very well enjoy it, but I am not putting a lot of excitement into that for the moment. So we'll kind of see how it goes. But I guess the other thing, when you come down to like Rowling, for example, is how many of these stories, they're already talking about this in terms of like having a whole series, you know?
Yes.
Like, oh, we're going to make this a series. I'm just becoming suspect when they want to make everything into a really long series.
Yes.
of films.
The Hobbit, which could have been condensed into one movie, was turned into three.
Right. Around the same time, Naomi Watts has a kind of creepy suspense thriller called Shut-In coming out that looks kind of interesting. I get kind of callbacks to the movie Panic Room, David Fincher's Panic Room. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Jodie Foster.
Yes, exactly. Then you're going to get into Disney has Moana, which is their new and as computer animated, but it's an animated film. And it is them trying to kind of reach out and tell more of a story that's a little bit more diverse. Have you seen the trailers?
Yeah, that's with Dwayne Johnson
as the Maori people,
Hawaiian god. Yes. Yeah.
So it looks interesting. Allied is November 23rd. That is Brad Pitt, and it's also Marion Cotillard.
Yep.
Which is actually Robert Zemeckis' new movie. And it's basically based on a true story. Intelligence officer Max Vatan, who's in 1942, and he meets up with a French resistance fighter, who that's going to be Marion Cotillard, who most people probably remember from movies like Inception.
Yes.
And the trailer looks, again, like we're kind of getting one of those big, prestigious Oscar sorts of movies. But I do like Zemeckis. I mean, I think he's a great example of a filmmaker who can be very, very technical, but can also really deliver a good story. You go back to his kind of movies that he made with Spielberg back in the day, like Back to the Future and Contact. We just spoke about Contact. I think it was a great movie. He did a movie last year called The Walk with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, about the guy who crosses between the towers.
Yes, that looked fascinating to me.
Hey, there were elements of it that I wasn't like completely won over by, but I did like it. Mm-hmm. He also did the movie Flight and with Denzel Washington. So he's no newcomer to making these movies that are both very big technically, but can be very like character-driven. Sure. Stephen Knight wrote the script, and Stephen Knight's a very good screenwriter who has a very almost stage play sensibility to his writing. So I'm looking forward to seeing this. I think it might be one of those few movies that at the same time it's trying to be an Oscar-style movie may also be worthwhile.
Sure.
And of course, you know, Zemeckis, he had that whole period of time where he went and did the motion capture stuff too.
Yes.
So, you know, Polar Express and things like that. And coming off of those, he seems to have returned to more of a sensibility of period pieces. You know, I think the last couple movies he's done have had that element. So I'm interested. And I think, honestly, you know, like everything said, Brad Pitt is a very good actor.
Mm-hmm.
He is also a very good actor at sort of capturing that period piece sensibility to him. And what was the movie last year about the tanks that he was in that I thought was pretty good?
Fury,
yes. I thought that last year or the year before, kind of some of these things start to kind of
meld
together. I'm not completely certain, but I do remember seeing it, and I do remember enjoying it to a degree.
Yep.
So there's that. And at that point, you really start to head into December where a lot of the movies that are getting released, now we're really down to the wire for making movies or releasing movies that have a big emphasis on performance and things like that, but the performances in the films. So at the same time, Bad Santa 2. I really don't know what else to say about Bad Santa 2.
Nothing. There's nothing else to say.
There's probably not a lot there. You've got a lot of different movies. There's another, as we start to get into December, that's another early December, sometimes ends up being a place where they also dump a lot of movies that they don't know what to do with. Incarnate is a movie with an actor who I actually really like, Aaron Eckhart, but he seems to have fallen on some hard times because he did that movie, the Frankenstein movie?
Yes, I, Frankenstein.
Yeah, I, Frankenstein. Oh, that was bad. And then he's done the Olympus Has Fallen and London Has Fallen, and he has one coming out in December where he is a priest performing exorcisms in Incarnate. And I watched his trailer. It was another movie that was like, why? What happened? Yeah. Are you in movie jail right now, Aaron Eckhart?
Although, to his credit, I heard he did a fantastic supporting role in the movie Sully with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't got the chance to see that. And, you know, I think that's where Eckhart shines. Mm-hmm. I've even seen him turn good. To be fair to him, he has put in good performances, even in movies that don't necessarily require it. Like, Battlefield Earth comes to mind.
Yes.
I thought he did a great job, even though that movie itself wasn't very... nothing about it really stood out to
me.
So at the same time, you've got a movie called La La Land coming out. Are you familiar with this? This is going to be... it's a musical, for lack of a better... No, that is the term that I would use. It's a musical. And it's Damien Chazelle is the writer and director. Now, he did a few years ago a movie called Whiplash. Years ago. Have you seen it?
No, that was the one with J.K. Simmons.
Yes, Simmons won for that. Yes. And it was a great movie. La La Land has Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, who were both together in a movie a few years ago. Crazy Stupid Love.
Okay,
I think
they were
part of a larger ensemble there. Yep. This is a little bit lighter than Whiplash. It's a comedy. It's PG-13. And it is a musical. And it's set in modern-day Los Angeles. And it's two people sort of falling in love. There's dance sort of numbers in the trailer I saw. It looks fun. It's nice. Hard to tell if they're, you know, if they're going to pull it off. Sometimes with a very rarefied thing like this, the kind of musical they're making, people can push too hard or try too hard, mm-hmm. and it doesn't quite translate. But I'm encouraged. It looks good. I love musicals, actually. I love this style of musical.
Sure.
I just don't see them do this very well most of the time.
Yeah.
So, other movies coming out in December, I guess before we kind of circle around to the others, let's talk about the big elephant in the room, which is Rogue One, Star Wars, which comes out a little bit later in December, but I think, you know, still Star Wars is going to cast a shadow over the winter movie lineup for the next how many years, because they're not going to let this thing go. We've heard back and forth. We've heard them talk about how originally they were having issues with Gareth Edwards, who they'd hired, who had recently done the Godzilla movie, and that, oh, you know, it's too much of a war film. It is called Star Wars, people. But, you know, we've heard them trying to assure everyone, well, don't worry, it'll be just like the Star Wars you know. But I think that might have been one of the real weaknesses of Star Wars The Force Awakens, which I did enjoy, but was trying to make it too much like what we know.
Sure.
And, of course, Rogue One has every reason to feel like a little bit like what we know, because it is taking place in a time frame and a part of a story that we do know, which is that original series.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts about Rogue One?
You know, the more I see trailers for it, and this is always the danger with what they're showing, because they're trying to show, they're trying to get you to go see the movie. Once they've got your money and you've seen the movie, they don't care. So for me, it's hard. I want to like this movie. I've loved the Rogue One stories. I think it's very compelling and interesting to find out how they're going to do it and what happens. I'm skeptical, because I think if they just turn it into another Star Wars movie with Jedi and lightsabers, it's going to turn people off. I think people are ready to see the universe expanded on television. People have been reading about the expanded universe. They've been playing video games about the expanded universe for years now, and I think that's what people want to see. They want to see more about characters that are related to Star Wars and that are interacting with the Star Wars universe, but have something more to offer it.
Yeah, I really just want a Star Wars movie where there's not a Death Star in there somewhere. Which I don't think we've had, because even Phantom Menace may be the only one, and even that had that kind of feel where they're trying to take out the system at the end. But like, you know, the others even had the blueprints for the Death Star show up pretty early. And you know,
at the end of the third one, they were constructing the Death Star.
Right. And then, of course, you know, Star Wars The Force Awakens, it's not a Death Star, but it totally is. Just bigger.
Right.
And you aren't getting away from that. They're just so lockstep that I may enjoy this movie, and I hope that in some ways it does choose to have a tone that is different than what's come so far. So I'm interested in it. I think it could be a good movie. I hope, though, that they do something intriguing with it. And, of course, the big draw in the last trailer was the appearance of Darth Vader.
Correct.
And I just hope that they've got a little bit more there.
Well, and I hope that this is a story that is about spies and espionage. And I hope they do that well. You know, we've seen the AT-ATs coming in, and we've seen kind of those battle scenes, you know, where they're fighting. But ultimately, this is a story about spies and espionage. And that intrigues me in this universe. How did they get the plans? How did they deliver them? All of that stuff. And I would like to see how they do that.
Agreed. And I think that so But at some point, and I think the problem is we already see how this universe is laying out.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue One, I'm far more interested in Rogue One than I don't care a thing, to be honest, about the young Han Solo.
Yeah, I agree.
I just don't have any kind of interest there.
Yeah.
I think I said even when I was on the East Go to 11 last year, right before mm-hmm. Force Awakens, and that the one thing that I feel wasn't going to happen, and it didn't happen for me, was the idea of new sights, new things to look at, and new things to experience
sure.
that Star Wars series always sort of had.
Yeah.
And in that, that's what I'm kind of concerned about. It doesn't seem to be there. Even with Rogue One, they're just too familiar. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. There is kind of a nice feeling of, oh, we're going to get a Star Wars movie at these big holiday, time periods, like in December, but I don't know quite what to expect from it yet.
Right.
What do you think about Assassin's Creed?
You know, I laying all my cards out on the table, Double Dragon, I'll start there, because I can't remember if Super Mario Brother came first or Double Dragon came first, but I'm going to start with Double Dragon. Video game, movie based off a video game, sucked. I liked it. Here's why.
Double Dragon.
Yes. Do you remember that one? Mark Dacascos.
It may be one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Yeah. See, I agree, but I liked it. And part of the reason why I like it was because that was a time where I was doing martial arts as a young person. And that just kind of...
You probably did more martial arts than actually appeared in that movie.
You're probably right.
Dacascos, I understand, is a martial artist, right. But I thought he was better showcased in Brotherhood of the Wolf.
And he was. But the cool the thing that I liked about it was, again, as a young person, it was good seeing a martial artist do stuff. Like, it was complete cheese, but his moves were still legit. Super Mario Brothers was horrible. I would never watch that movie ever again. It was a lousy disgrace to video game movies combined. I enjoyed Tomb Raider. I thought both those movies were fun movies. I thought Angelina did a good job. Actually, I was surprised that she did such a good job with them, because I remember when she was first announced, I thought they were going to be horrible. And I thought she did a good job with them. I liked them. They were fun action movies. Are they Shakespeare in the Park? No, but they're a movie that I can sit down with on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon and fall asleep to.
I can fall asleep to them as well.
but there's something to be said about that. It's a movie that I would put on, I would begin watching, and if I fell asleep, it's not, you know, it's not a movie that
I know what you're talking about, the kind of lazy Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Adventure movie. I get that.
To me, I think this has the potential. And you and I talked about Warcraft. We had very different opinions on Warcraft and what we thought of that movie. And you can, you know, our listeners can go back and listen to that episode, which actually I think people have said was one of our better ones, where we weren't agreeing with everything on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm interested to see how Michael Fassbender does, because I think he's a great actor. I think this is something within his wheelhouse, having played a comic book video game character in Magneto. And so I'm interested to see what he does with this character and how it comes out. I don't think the graphics look all that great.
That's a good point. The trailer, I really thought that, you know, they didn't do a good job of making this look like a movie as much as just an expansion
CG,
of the video
right.
game. And I'm just really kind of done with that. Fassbender is the sort of wild card there, because I'm trying to figure out why, what would have compelled him to sign on for mm-hmm. it. And there's a few other actors in there that I'm just sort of like, do you know something we don't?
Right.
But I've thought this in the past with movies, and then when they have come out, it's sort of been like, oh no, you know?
Right.
Mark Wahlberg, you had no idea what you signed on for, Max Payne.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Or things of that nature. I mean, you know, like the how many Hitman movies have we had and things like that?
Gosh.
And I just don't think, you know, Silent Hill,
right.
they just haven't really ever gotten these things
right,
right, and that I'm aware of. And it's just, I could be proved wrong. And
right.
it's weird. I talk to people who are fans of the video games, right. and they try to explain to me the story, and I'm like, well, that's a somewhat compelling story, or at least the basis for a compelling story. But I'm not; they don't seem to be convinced either that it's going to appear in this movie. So I think that's an interesting. It'll be interesting to see because it will be competing with Star Wars a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I mean, I think Star Wars is safe, obviously,
right?
But I think the question is, would it be able to carve a niche out for itself? And so as we're coming down to the end, there's an animated movie called Sing, that I'm not really interested in. All animals at a singing competition. I couldn't be less interested about that movie if I tried.
Actually, Joy and I were watching that. I think if it was done well, it could be absolutely hysterical. I'm trying to remember which preview we were watching, but you know, we were just sitting on the couch, you know, watching this trailer, and it finished, and her and I just looked at each other and started laughing our heads off. I don't know if it will be as good. I'm hoping, you know, that everything I laughed at isn't only in the previews. I found that to be the case in too many instances with some animated movies where everything that I laugh at's in the previews. Yeah. You get to the movie and everything that I laughed at in the movie was what I saw in the previews.
I feel like that was very true recently of the movie The Secret Life of Pets.
Mm.
I didn't think it was a bad movie, but it was definitely a movie where it felt like pretty much everything that was to be had there was in the trailer.
Mm.
Have you seen anything, or are you familiar with any trailers for the movie Why Him? With James Franco and Bryan Cranston.
No.
I don't think it looks very good at all, but I don't know that much about it yet. But essentially, Cranston is the overprotective father, and Franco is the guy who wants to, like, take his little daughter away.
Okay.
That kind of movie is so played out. I mean, the only thing that had interesting going for it is Cranston and Franco, who's a bit of an oddball. You know, I mean, they could make something like that work. I have no idea if they will.
Right.
A Monster Calls was supposed to come out back in October, I believe. It's September, in the, you know, upcoming month here, but they actually moved it back to December.
Okay.
That actually is probably somewhat of a show of faith because they're wanting to set it up for probably the award season.
Right.
Are you familiar with this? It was one of the books that we put up as part of our reading contest.
Right, options.
Monster Calls, it's a story that deals with a young boy who is trying to process. He's in the process of losing his mother to cancer. And that's very clear up front. That's not a spoiler. And then one night, the tree in his backyard comes to life and becomes a monster, a full-blown giant monster that is voiced by Liam Neeson. And the relationship between he and the monster is more of a kind of goading. The monster is goading him towards things. It's clear that the monster is, in essence, a processor, perhaps, for his grief.
Sure.
The way the story goes through these beats, it's he and the monster and this third element of his mother and trying to process what's happening there. But this is not a sort of tearjerker story. I mean, it is very emotional, but it is sincere in what it's trying to do. The story was. It was originally conceived by a woman who was dying at the time she was putting the story together in a similar manner. And she did not live to actually write it, so it was written by another author. But it's a fantastic book, and it's probably going to make a very good movie. And Liam Neeson has definitely the right kind of melancholy voice for the monster. The trailer looks fun.
Nice.
There's a movie called Passengers. You heard anything about this?
I did, and I'm trying to.
It's a science fiction movie with again, it has the Hunger Games actress Jennifer Lawrence in it. And
with Chris Pratt.
Yes, Pratt again. And I have not. I know there's a trailer out there. I actually haven't seen the trailer yet, but I've been waiting to see this for quite a while, just to see what it's like. Have you seen the trailer?
I did
yet?
See the trailer.
How does it look?
It looks fascinating to me. This
it sounds like another hard sci-fi story, or at least a thoughtful sci-fi story.
Yes. So. I don't feel like I'm spoiling anything if I just give what the trailer
says.
Go ahead. So, you know, apparently this whole colony of people are going to be sent to colonize a planet, and they're not supposed to wake up for like 200 years or something like that. And Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence end up waking up basically like 190 years early.
Like, okay, yeah.
And they're the only
two. It says here they've wakened 90 years too
early. Okay, 90 years too early.
90 years.
So they are, you know, they are together trying to figure out why did they wake up? What's going on? And it turns into this story where they're interacting together, their relationship grows and develops. They're struggling with their own losses. You know, she went to sleep with friends and family, and she realizes that, you know, when they wake up out of cryogenic stasis, she's going to be 90 some years old or even dead, and they will just be waking up at that point.
Now, you've seen the trailer. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, it sounds like the ship becomes in danger of, like,
yeah,
losing everybody else who's on the ship.
Correct.
So they have to make decisions.
Correct.
Is this primarily, from the trailer, a thriller? Or, I mean, it seems like you have a lot of different opportunities for that story. It could even be a romance, I suppose.
It looks like there are a couple different things that are going on here. It looks like there is this romantic element between the two. It looks like a thriller of mystery and intrigue, because at one point in the trailer, Chris Pratt looks at her, says to Jennifer Lawrence, "I think we were chosen to wake up early."
Okay, perhaps
and
to
so,
make some sort of
so there's something, okay. Yeah, so there's something that's going on here.
So this won't really be like the sci-fi remake of Career Opportunities where they get locked in the Walmart.
Yeah, exactly.
I was
kind
of hoping, you know.
Yeah, I mean, from the trailer, it seems like there's something more going on here. So there's this love interest and this love story that's going on, but it seems like there's this survival story that's going on as well. It seems like there's a problem-solving element to it, like in Mission to Mars, where things are going wrong. How do we fix this to continue going? So there's, you know, several different components.
I hope it's a better movie than Mission to Mars. If you're referencing that movie from 2000,
yeah.
There was also Red Planet, I think.
Yes, Red Planet, yeah.
So that's kind of, that's more or less, I mean, there are a few movies that will be then coming out in January that are sort of the pickup,
yep.
But that's pretty much a lot of the big movies. I've probably missed a few, and as we get closer, you're going to know which ones to see, because the studios are going to start screaming, this is the movie, you need to pay attention to it.
Right.
So, but I think that kind of gives us a pretty good overview of what's coming out, what's interesting, what's worth seeing.
I agree. And I think probably the next big one we're going to do, or we should do, in terms of what we're announcing in movies will be what to look for the Oscars.
Maybe we can do that. Maybe I think a good time to do that. Now, it's kind of, I'm not on the film critics thing this year, so I won't be I won't have in my possession all the screeners that I normally do, but it would be interesting, I think, to take a look at that and see, as we're coming out of this, what movies are really going to be up front and there. And there's some that I can guarantee you there are some that are probably on that slate right now that aren't going to amount to much.
Sure.
And there are going to be some that we have never even heard of that do pop, because that happens every year.
Yep.
So In that regard, I think that's pretty much what we have for this week, and then for this episode, and then we'll do the TV series in a separate
episode. Yeah, we'll do the TV. So we've got part one with the movies, part two will be the TV, and we'll go ahead and sign off, and we'll catch y'all later.
All right, take care.